in and you're gonna have to pour your own drinks.
Mom, does Santa Claus have to go through customs?
What time do you have to go to bed?
Early. We're leaving the house at 8 a.m. on the button.
I hope you're all drinking milk. I want to get rid of it.
Hey, don't you?
Honey, the pizza boy needs $122.50 plus tip.
For pizza?
10 pizzas times 12 bucks.
Frank, you've got some money, don't you? Come on.
Traveler's checks.
Forget it, Frank. We have cash.
You probably get the kind of traveler's checks that don't work in France.
Did anyone order me plain cheese?
Well, yeah, we did. But if you want any, somebody's gonna have to barf it all up, because it's gone.
Fuller, go easy on the Pepsi.
Get a plate.
Passport, watch
it.
Help me out.
No, no, let's get these passports out of here.
Come here.
Come on.
You all right?
Stop. What is the matter with you? He started it. He ate my pizza on purpose. He knows I ate sausage and olives and
look what you did, you little jerk.
Kevin, get upstairs right now.
Why?
Kevin, you're such a disease.
Shut up.
Kevin, upstairs.
Say goodnight, Kevin.
Goodnight, Kevin.
Now it's for dinner. What?
There are 15 people in this house. You're the only one who has to make trouble.
I'm the only one getting dumped on.
You're the only one acting up. Now get upstairs.
I am upstairs, dummy. The third floor?
Go.
It's scary up there.
Don't be silly. Fuller will be up in a little while.
I don't want a super fuller. You know about him. He wets the bed. He'll pee all over me. I know it.
Fine. We'll put him somewhere else.
I'm sorry.
It's too late. Get upstairs.
Everyone in this family hates me.
Then maybe you should ask Santa for a new family.
I don't want a new family. I don't want any family. Families suck.
Just stay up there. I don't want to see you again for the rest of the night.
I don't want to see you again for the rest of my whole life. And I don't want to see anybody else either.
I hope you don't mean that. You'd feel pretty sad if you woke up tomorrow morning and you didn't have a family.
No, I wouldn't.
Then say it again. Maybe it'll happen.
I hope I never see any jerks again.
You know, every Thanksgiving, we travel about 15 hours in the car, and it's kind of like Christmas movie extravaganza that during that trip. You know, my kids have Christmas movies on the entire time. It's like the breakout of the movies, and I've heard this movie. I mean, this is one, they don't watch this one that frequently, but every time it comes on, every now and then I'll get a little peek, you know, while I'm driving. But, you know, but for the most part, I'm hearing this, and every time I hear that scene, I think, oh my word, here's a kid, here's somebody who understands what it means to be on the outside of something, looking in, feeling like there's no way that they can be a part of it. The other thing I think is, man, that kid needs a nice, swift, you know, swat across the rear end. That's what he needs. But you know, I think, you know, for many people, when it comes to Christmas, you know, that's kind of what they think about Christmas. Well, it's a great thing that took place. Everybody seems to know what's going on, but I'm kind of on the outside looking in on this thing that's not really for me. And so today we're going to take a look at that and how Christmas is actually for everyone. And it doesn't matter where you've been, how far you've been, how long you've been gone, how far you are away. You know, Christmas, this event that took place, is actually something for everyone. So great to have you here this morning. My name's Kurt, by the way. And let me pray for us, and then we're going to dive into this morning. God, thank you for this morning and for this group of people who is here this morning who wants to go places and do things to experience you. And I just pray that those of us in this room and listening on the podcast would experience more and more of you over these next few weeks. To a greater degree would experience you, partly because of some of the information we're going to experience today. And so, God, I just pray that you would do something profound in us today. And I pray that that would happen in every single one of our hearts in a unique way. And I pray these things according to you, according to your name and your identity, Jesus. Amen. Well, I have to be honest with you, I have bad dreams. Anybody else have bad dreams every now and then? I have bad dreams, and it's a recurring bad dream that I've had for a number of years, and I wouldn't necessarily call it a nightmare because I don't wake up in a cold sweat, but nonetheless, it's a bad dream, and kind of here's my bad dream. I wake up, and I just had this dream, and my dream is this. In a moment's notice, I'm asked to speak on something for which I'm not prepared. All right, and then here's the kicker. Here's the really hard thing. Every time I have this dream, here's the big deal. I can't find my pants. All right? Like, I'm asked to speak, I'm not prepared, and I don't know where my pants are. And so I have to decide, am I going to go forth and, like, you know, do what I've been asked to do, you know? And I mean, I'm talking nothing. I'm talking no boxers, nothing, all right? There's nothingness there. And so in this dream, I get to this point, and I'm in, I carry it on, I do it, I speak, and then, you know, it gets done, but no one says anything. And don't read too much into that, all right? But nobody says anything about the fact that I don't have any pants on. And so, you know, you'd think that, you know, after I'd get to that point, I was done, that there'd be a relief, but it's not. It's a terrifying dream. I wake up every single time I've had this, and I think it has something to do with being a minister. Ever since I've been doing this, I've had that dream. And I've thought about this. I thought, why is this such an awful dream? Well, I think it's the thing that really makes it awful is, you know, throughout this entire talk, as I'm dreaming this, I feel like I don't belong. I don't know if it's the lack of pants, I don't know if it's the lack of preparation, but I feel like, for whatever reason, I'm not qualified to be doing this, I'm not prepared to be doing this, I don't belong in this situation. And this, when I think about Christmas, this is what the message of Christmas is all about. It's all about this baby that emerged on the scene who comes for those who feel like they're not included, they're not qualified. You know, I've experienced 4 births in my life, all my children. I've watched them be born, and every time I've seen that, I've the anticipation, I'm waiting for, you know, we never found out the gender of our children, so I mean, there's a lot of anticipation in that moment. And I watched this baby go from 98.6 degrees of warm goo, of goodness, you know, everything they've enjoyed, and all of a sudden, it's like, whoosh, they come out, and it's like, you know, it's like this immediate, you know, and all of them, that's how they responded. I mean, they're not coming out being like, oh man, I'm finally here, I finally arrived, everything's good, this is perfect. No, it's like, I just saw a brand new baby walking this morning. Every single baby that emerges, you know, out of the womb comes this way. Why is that? It's because we have this longing to belong. You know, we're in places where we feel like, oh, this is new, this is foreign. And so this scene from the Christmas story we're going to look at today, this is one of my favorite scenes in the entire story. This is the scene of the shepherds. And before I explain any more, let's just go ahead and read the story. Here's where it begins in Luke 2, verse 8. It says, "And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.'" So he says, this will be a sign. What's the sign? Well, the sign is you're going to find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, swaddling cloths. So what's going on here? Well, I think there's a number of things going on right here today, and I want to tease a few of these out this morning. So number one, this is the first thing I see going on. Jesus is a sign that all are invited. All are invited. Let me tell you something. Shepherds don't get invited anywhere. All right, shepherds, you know, no one wants to be around a shepherd. I mean, this is what's so cool about this part of the story. I mean, shepherd, why do they not want to be around them? Shepherds stink, they smell. Why is that? Well, it's because the creatures they work with stink and smell. I don't know if you've ever seen a sheep. Don't touch a sheep if you see a sheep, all right? Sheep stink. All right, sheep, they're disgusting. They're dirty animals. In fact, I don't know, about 6 years ago, we had a lamb, which is a baby sheep, in our home for about three or four nights. We borrowed a lamb from a farmer, a sheep farmer, that I brought into Cross Point for an Easter weekend. I mean, my kids love this. And we had it like camping out in our kitchen. We had to put tarps down and, you know, section off the whole kitchen. And I tell you what, our house stunk. Smelled like ammonia the whole time and for like a month after. I mean, you know, things making pies. tiles and puddles, and then it sits in it and gets in the wool. And the crazy thing about this sheep, we called it Lammy. I was trying to find a picture of Lammy for you. I couldn't find one. But, you know, it was still being bottle fed. So my kids couldn't wait, you know, three times a day. We had to bottle feed this sheep. They'd be on the floor hugging this thing, feeding it a bottle, and then they'd get up and they'd stink because sheep stink. They're disgusting animals. And so shepherds, I don't know if you've ever been around a shepherd. I've only met one shepherd in my life, at least I'm aware of. It was a number of years ago. We were traveling out west. We were in Colorado Springs area. I think we were west of Colorado Springs. And we went out to this ranch to do kind of one of those, like, ride the horses on the open range kind of deal. You know, kind of like City Slickers. You know, it's like one of our dreams. And so, you know, we're at this ranch, and we're waiting, you know, for our time, just kind of hanging out. And all of a sudden, this dude walks down, and he walks up, starts talking to us as we're standing kind of next to the little corral area. And dude stinks, man. I mean, he stinks. Well, he's a shepherd. He just like come down from the mountain or something, and he's up in the with the sheep, and he starts talking about, you know, his sheep, and I tell you what, you could smell him coming. And I don't know if you've ever been around people you aren't like in your normal circle of people you interact with, and you kind of measure him up, and you're like, would I hang with this guy? I'm like, I will never hang with Shepherd Man. All right, Shepherd Man is not the kind of guy I would normally spend time with. But, you know, why is that? Well, he's not like me, and that's not that I don't hang with people not like me, but I mean, he stinks. He's not educated, at least I don't think he was. I mean, most people that are shepherds aren't educated. I mean, it doesn't matter what society you're in. Shepherds generally aren't in the upper echelon of the society. You know, these are usually people who are uneducated, who, when you can't do anything else, there's no other trade you can do. You go out in the field and you care for a bunch of stinky animals. That's what you do. All right, and so, and yet, what's cool about this? Shepherds get invited in this story. The shepherds. I mean, Jesus came and invited people who otherwise weren't getting invited to anything. I remember Shepherd Man, he was talking about his sheep. Man, he was talking about birthing a lamb, you know. I remember him talking about fending off like coyotes, killing this coyote that, you know, he's all proud of that. And, you know, I mean, he's talking about his sheep. I mean, he even had binoculars on his waist, you know, so he could look and watch his sheep. I mean, the dude was into his sheep. In fact, it was very fascinating. I remember thinking out of that, man, if Jesus is the good shepherd and we are our sheep, I mean, that's the kind of the analogy he gives us, man, it really gave me a picture of how much Jesus cares for his flock, how much Jesus cares for his sheep, how much he looks after us, what he thinks about us. And this is really interesting because this is one of the reasons I'm really excited about Christmas Eve services here coming up here in a couple, 10 days, right? 10 days. Because, you know, Jesus invites us to come to him. And in the same way, you know, just like he invites the shepherds, the people that basically the rest of society doesn't want to be around to come to him. See, we actually also, for Christmas Eve, get to invite people who to come and see what it looks like to have a relationship with God, to come and actually see what Christmas really means, perhaps by inviting them to come to Christmas Eve at Cross Point. In fact, or something else we do. I mean, we have these kind of events all the time, but that's why we do these things. I was I met one of my neighbors a few months back. It was school year started, and we were down at the bus stop, and it's always a great time to meet your new neighbors. And so I was hanging out talking to this new dad, and, you know, the conversation always leads to, you know, well, what do you do? And, you know, he told me what he did, and he asked me, and I said, well, you know, I just went right for it. I'm like, I'm a pastor. He's like, you know, that's how you spend your time, huh? Which tells me a lot about what he thinks about what I do, right? And so, you know, we continued talking, and he said, well, you know, what kind of church is Cross Point? I said, well, you know, honestly, Cross Point's really a church for people who don't like church. That's really what we are. I mean, we're a church for people who have given up on church but haven't given up on God, who are interested in God but just feel like, church, man, I've done that. I'm disconnect from that. And so he looked at me and said, That's the kind of church we could actually maybe go to. And it was kind of a bummer because we had just done, if you were here in the fall, we'd had this big, you know, Greatest Show on Earth series when we kicked off the school year, and we had like circus performers here. It was a huge big day, you know, invited a bunch of friends and that kind of thing. And we just passed that weekend. I was telling him all about it. He's like, man, if you ever have one of those again, and, you know, we'd love to come to that. So, you know, I've looked for a couple opportunities to invite him and haven't, you know, seen that happen, you know, them come yet. But just the other night, I borrowed his ladder to, you know, I was doing my Clark Griswold hanging Christmas lights, and I didn't have a ladder to get up to the peak. So I borrowed his ladder, and he came over to get it, and I said, hey, by the way, you know, we got Christmas Eve services coming up, and I gave him, you know, this little mint invite that we handed out last weekend, because as Eric always says, nothing says Merry Christmas better than, hey, have a mint. And so, you know, so I gave him this, and hey, you know, you gotta check it out. And he said, yeah, we might do that. And so, you know, this, I was prepared. I was prepared. I was actually prepared when he came over. I kept this with me. I've been handing these out all week because that's what Christmas Eve is for, right? And these things naturally happen because, you know, I realized, man, God has invested in me. I mean, in my stinkiness and my dirtiness, God has overtaken my life, and I naturally just want to help other people who have yet to experience who Jesus is experience the same thing. And that's why we do Christmas Eve services. In fact, you know, it's the only reason we do Christmas Eve services here at Grosse Pointe. All right, I mean, we don't do Christmas Eve services. You can get your Christmas on and, you know, be like, oh, man, I'm going to go to four services, you know, two nights in a row. I mean, we don't do it for the already convinced. I mean, you can come. We really want you to come, but we want you to bring someone. All right, that's the only reason we do Christmas Eve. In fact, when you leave today, you're going to receive some more invites. You're going to receive some cards like this that are invites to Christmas Eve. And I encourage you to use these to invite people around you who you're thinking, man, I think they might really connect with, you know, what we do at Grosse Pointe. Maybe for the first time, they'll hear what Christmas is really all about and who Jesus is. I mean, you know, we used to not do Christmas Eve. And for a number of years, we didn't do it, and we realized, man, we're missing something because this is a time of the year when more people are inclined to go to church than any other time of year. And so, you know, it takes quite a bit of money to put that event on with all the promotion. It takes a lot of man hours, volunteer hours at a time of the year that's really, really busy. And yet, you know, we're not trying to create a Christian ghetto for two nights, all right? We really want this to be a place where you invite your friends. And so I encourage you, as you take these invites today, to take these and use these to invite people in your life that maybe God puts on your heart or your mind to say, hey, you know, leverage these tools. Say, hey, you know, maybe I'd come check out Grosse Pointe. Come just maybe, you know, hear about Christmas and bring your family. That's what Christmas is about. It's an invitation to those who feel like there's not really a place for them. And so I think the shepherds, they were astounded. They were astounded that they were invited, but they're also astounded that they were involved at any level. Another one of the signs is that Jesus is involved. Jesus is a sign. So there's going to be a sign. Jesus is a sign that God is involved. He's a sign that regardless of where you are, how far away you've been, what you did last night, that God's still involved in your life. In fact, let's keep reading the story here in verse 13. It says, and suddenly there was an angel with a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. They're like, hey man, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's go to the city. Let's go to the city of David. They're like, let's go hang out there like we belong. I mean, the shepherds don't belong, right? I mean, the shepherds, they're not getting invitations to anything else, all right? They're not getting invited to birthday parties, all right? They don't get invitations to wedding receptions unless it's their own, all right? I mean, they're never get invited to be a part of the big city at all. And yet God goes to them first and says, hey, you're included. This deal's for you. It really doesn't matter what you did last night or what you're planning to do tonight. There's a sign when Jesus shows up that says, man, God is involved with you. He's involved. Doesn't matter where you've come from, what you're planning to do. He says, God's not forgotten you. I mean, you might feel forgotten. You might feel forgotten by other people in your life. You might feel devalued by other people, but this is a sign that God says, hey, I didn't forget about you. And this is what Christmas says to us. It's not just that he invites you, and it's not just that he involves us, even in the midst of all of our stuff. He actually invites and involves people who fall short of the glory of God, which is the shepherds, but it's also you and I. It's all of us. And here's, you know, for me, I mean, I know I regularly do things that God doesn't want me to do. I regularly don't do things that I know God wants me to do. I mean, I have dirt in my life just like the shepherds. I mean, I'm dirty just like the shepherds. I have dirty deeds done dirt cheap. That's what I have.
Dirty deeds done dirt cheap. Dirty deeds done dirt cheap.
AC/DC, right? 1978 or 80 somewhere. That was like one of my first songs I heard when I got my first radio when I was like 8. All right, some of you 20-somethings are like, who is that? AC/DC, all right? AC/DC. Anyway, you know, dirty deeds done dirt cheap. That's what we all have in our lives. All of us have dirty deeds that we've done dirt cheap. All of us have, we're like dirty sheep. We're like spiritual outcasts, and we've done things, we've done deeds, we've made mistakes, we've not done things we should have done. And yet God invites us. Not only does he invite us, he involves us. Why? Because there's a sign. He says there will be a sign. Third thing, Jesus is a sign of God's investment. Jesus, when he emerges on the scene, is a sign of God is making an investment in us. What happens when you invest? Well, what initially happens is when you invest initially, it's actually a divestiture, right? It's a divestiture. You actually divest, you actually get rid of something, you actually release yourself of something you once had that you're getting rid of, and you're putting it somewhere else. And this is what forgiveness is. This is what Jesus actually does later in his life when he goes to the cross. He came to invest himself. You know, God basically came to lose his son, to divest his son in order that you and I might have forgiveness. That's what Christmas actually begins in motion. And so this is where the story gets really interesting. In fact, I've kind of experienced some new takes on this story over these last few months as I've been reading and listening to some of my mentors. And this is very fascinating to me because, you know, I've talked in years past, if you've been here, about, you know, how, you know, Jesus came in swaddling clothes, and that was a sign, and he did. I mean, he said he had swaddling cloths, and that's really a sign that Mary and Joseph, you know, were not well off financially. They couldn't afford a full-size blanket, you know, for their new son. That's basically what that means. And so the best they could do is cobble together a few strips of cloth and actually, you know, wrap Jesus in it. That's why they call it swaddling cloths, all right? And I think that's really what they did. They didn't have much money. They very much, he was in strips of cloth. But on top of that is something I discovered recently, was it wasn't just strips of cloth. This was actually their burial cloths. These were burial cloths that they wrapped Jesus in. This is fascinating. See, Mary and Joseph are wandering through a very dangerous area to get to Bethlehem in a very tumultuous time. And in that particular culture, you never make a trip like that without taking your burial cloths. What are burial cloths? Think of a mummy, right? Like wrapping, you know, mummies are wrapped up in cloths. And so they had their burial cloths with them, and this is what they actually wrapped Jesus in when he was born. And this was a sign from the very moment he was born that the point of his life, the very point of his life, was ultimately death. And the very point of his life was to divest himself into others so that we could have forgiveness. Because we do dirty deeds. We accrue interest. We accrue a spiritual debt. That's what we do. And so Jesus, from the very moment he's born, gives a visual that he's going to be the one to pay off the debt. When he's the one that has no blemishes on his account. I mean, there's actually no spiritual debt in his account. Now, here's where it gets really, really crazy, okay? The shepherds, they're outside the city of Bethlehem, which is also the city of David, same city. And these fields that they were in are still outside the city of Bethlehem. Now they're not quite the same. The city's built up a little bit more. But nonetheless, the sheep outside the city of Bethlehem, these were sheep who were developed for the sacrificial system. All right, so the sheep that were being raised outside the city of Bethlehem weren't sheep that were going to be slaughtered for meals, all right? Those were sheep that were raised in different areas of the community. But the ones right outside the city of Bethlehem were sheep that were cultivated for the sacrificial system, you know, things like the high, you know, spiritual rites like Passover and the like. Well, you know, you might be thinking, well, what's Passover? I don't have a lot of time to explain that, but I can explain the sacrificial system. So here's how this would go. Basically, you know, you would have to take a lamb because in the sacrificial system, it was all about recognizing that, oh, my word, there's something in my life that's created a spiritual indebtedness. I have accrued spiritual debt in my life, and God has to take vengeance on that debt. Otherwise, he's not a just God. And so the only way that I remove that debt is I would have to take a lamb, and this could be a lamb that you raised in your backyard or you had, you know, raised in your kitchen or whatever, or is a lamb that you know, went out and purchased in these fields outside the city of David, and you would bring it to a priest, and they would lay it on an altar, and you would lay your hands on that lamb, and the priest would slit the throat of the lamb and drain the blood out of it. And as that blood drained out and you had your hands on that sacrificial lamb, you would all of a sudden go, oh, wow. Oh, wow. God really is a generous God. I mean, this lamb, God is not taking his vengeance out on me. He's actually allowing this lamb to pay the price for what I deserve. And so you'd stand there and you'd realize, you know, this lamb's paying the price for all my gossip, for all my selfishness, for all my rebelliousness. I mean, it would be this moment where you would have this self-reflection of just realizing, as I have my hands on this lamb, this sacrificial lamb, it's a reminder that, man, God is good. God is good. Now, the shepherds knew that were out in the fields around Bethlehem. They knew that these lambs were the sacrificial lambs, and they were holy unto the Lord. They knew that. And so what they would frequently do, here's what's really interesting. What they would frequently do is they would take strips of cloth, and they would wrap that cloth around the legs and the feet of the lamb so those feet that were sacrificial lambs never touched the ground because they were holy unto the Lord, consecrated, holy unto the Lord. And so the shepherds who are out in the field, they go from seeing these lambs who have their feet wrapped in cloths, so they're kind of consecrated, to seeing the very Lamb of God wrapped in the same cloths emerge in a manger, in a barn. In fact, the very first thing Jesus is identified as by John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, is he says, "Behold, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." It's amazing. It's amazing. And it's amazing how God weaves this tapestry of a story together about how he's making an investment, how he's making a deposit on our behalf into the goodness of you and I because we've accrued a spiritual debt. So, you know, here's the thing. We need to make some application on this. So, you know, we can't enjoy the holiday season, all right? Without kind of putting this into practice. So I want to finish the rest of our time off this morning. I want you to go ahead and take out your connection card. And I want us to have an application of forgiveness here this morning. And I want you to think about this. You know, you and I have experienced, if you've come to know Jesus, you've come to experience so much forgiveness, so much grace because of what Jesus, the investment Jesus made, that naturally you and I should be great forgivers. In fact, here's how Jesus talks about it in the book of Luke, chapter 6. He says, "Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap, for with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." Now, it's interesting. You read this. Do you know why? Do you know why a lot of us get judged, and a lot of us kind of get bad-mouthed by other people? Do you know why? It's because you're out bad-mouthing and judging other people. That's why, all right? Just think about it. That's what Jesus is saying right here. Do you know why a lot of us, you know, we can't get forgiveness? I mean, we only get condemnation from all the people we've wronged. You know why that is? It's because you're always doling out condemnation, all right? Jesus says right here, he says, the way we operate is what comes back to us. And so when we've received the deposit, the investment of forgiveness, when we've been forgiven, listen, we should be the greatest forgivers on God's green earth. We really should be, all right? Now, this is a really good message for us today, all right? Here's why. Because you are going to have annoying people in your home over the next 2 weeks, all right? You're going to have people in your home, and you're going to be at holiday parties with people that you don't want to be around, all right, that have wronged you. And so to enjoy those, to enjoy your family time, to enjoy those holiday parties, listen, we need to have a sign in us, a sign of the investment that's been made in us, all right? A sign of the forgiveness that runs through us. I saw a news story about a month ago, about I don't know, 5 weeks ago. We were getting ready for dinner, and news popped on, and it's talking about this elderly Anderson couple that survived this violent home invasion. And I watched that. I'm like, oh, my word, I think I know them. And sure enough, their name came up on the screen, Dorothy and Dale Nye, dear, dear people that were part of the very first church that I was at in Anderson. And in fact, Dale served on my kind of the board that oversaw the ministry area of my area, just an incredibly caring guy. And the story went on to talk about how, you know, some guy had broke into their house and just ransacked it, basically was looking for money and an automobile. They don't drive anymore. And so Dorothy, in the story, his wife, actually talked about how this man came in and drug her down the hallway by her neck and twisted her neck all the way around. And then he went to get Dale and demanded his car keys, put a gun to his head right here on the bridge of his nose. And somehow miraculously in that moment, Dorothy was able to escape and run across the street to a business and call the police. And she goes on to talk about, she didn't even know, you know, when the police arrived, if she was going to find her husband, you know, alive or dead. I mean, this was a very violent invasion. And yet, what the coolest part of this story, of course, I was like, oh my word, I wonder what happened to him, was when it got to this line right here. I want to read this for you. It says, you know, Rich Van Wyck, I think is his name, he reported this story, and he talked about how this couple has an amazing faith, and then it had this quote right here. They said, every day we pray, Lord, who are we supposed to help today? Dale said. Now, for some reason, we are supposed to help this man. I don't know how. I'm like, how could he say that? After they just did that, you know how he can say that? Because he's forgiven. That's how. Because for Dale, he probably looks over I think they've been married 62 years. He looks over the history of his life. He's like, man, I've done some dirty deeds in my life. I mean, I've accrued some spiritual debt over the course of my life. And you know what? I've been forgiven. By the blood of the Lamb, my hands have been on the Lamb, the blood of the Lamb, I'm forgiven. I want to encourage us this morning. I want to encourage us. This is one of our next steps on the back of your card this morning. We've got to release the bitterness. We've got to release the unforgiveness toward other people this holiday season. All right, we got to stop, you know, waiting for those people who have hurt us to come and apologize. We just need to release it, all right? And so, because here's the thing: if they haven't done it already, it's not going to happen. All right, so for you to go through these next few weeks, this just isn't something for Christmas, but definitely for the next 2 weeks. All right, we need to release that. And so let me give us a little exercise, all right? Let me ask you this. When was the last time you said to somebody, hey, I just want to tell you, man, I was totally wrong. I mean, I was completely in the wrong right here. I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? What should you think? When was the last time you said that? Now, for some of us, you probably can't even think of one time, right? I mean, you know, and if you did think of one time, I want you to think of two more, all right? Think of at least two more times, all right? When was the last time you shared that? Now, and I'm not saying we need to just say this more often to say it, but maybe we do. But here's the thing. If you self-selected into this environment this morning, into this environment right here, you're probably in the upper echelon of society who's willing to ask for forgiveness, right? I mean, just you being in this setting, you're probably like, you know, you may be a little more humble than the rest of society. And here's the thing. If you can't figure out a time when you said that recently, why would you think somebody who's not self-selecting into this environment would ever offer forgiveness? I mean, seriously. I mean, that's like hoping for like Kool-Aid flavored whiskey or something. I don't know. I mean, seriously, you're expecting, like, well, maybe they have that or something. I don't know. I've never heard of it. But nonetheless, we need to be great forgivers. It's the story of Christmas. I mean, Jesus, when he was on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I mean, this is like blanket forgiveness right here. All right, this wasn't him waiting for somebody to come up and be like, hey, Jesus, that one time, I was responsible for that. No, Jesus wasn't like, hey, that one guy right there, while I'm hanging up here, that one guy, he said the right words, forgive him. You know what Jesus did? Jesus said, forgive them. Before they've even done this, for the centuries of people who will come after me, forgive them, for they know not what they do. All I'm saying is, That dad that was a hard driver that never invested in you emotionally, probably not going to ask for forgiveness. Hadn't happened yet, probably not going to happen. That girlfriend who cheated on you, or that spouse that cheated on you, you know, that one you thought, man, this is the one I'm going to spend the rest of my life with, probably not going to come back and say, man, I was wrong. I was in the wrong. I'm so sorry. That boss that, you know, overlooked you for the promotion and eventually you're the one that lost your job. I mean, you know, that boss is never going to come back to you and be like, man, dude, we blew it. We blew it right there. We should have hired you and we didn't. I fired the guy who made that decision. You know, we want you to come back. It's probably never going to happen. Right? That person that posted something on social media that just kind of slammed you into the ground, you know, really, you know, kind of put a tarnish on your reputation. Listen, they're probably not going to post something good about you. All right? It's not going to happen. Right, the reason we forgive is because there needs to be a sign that there was an investment made into us and that we're operating a little bit different than the rest of culture. And beyond that, you're invited. Christmas is for everyone. You're invited. You're involved. It's for everyone. And so this is a sign. This was a sign the shepherds received. Hey, this deal's for everyone. And it's a sign that can be lived out 24/7, 365 days a year, not just for Christmas, but especially over the next few weeks. Now, here's what I want us to do. I want to do a prayer this morning. In fact, I found a prayer and I kind of tweaked it a little bit. And I want us to engage in this prayer. All right. If you want to be a forgiver, if somebody's come to your mind this morning, I want you to engage with this. Even if you don't want to, let's go ahead and stand. All right. I'm gonna ask all of you to stand. And if you want to read this with us, we're going to do that song in just a moment, Good, Good Father, that we just learned a few moments ago, because it's a really, really good song for what we're talking about today, of this God who is so gracious to us. But first, you know, if you wrote something on your connection card or mark, you know, I need to live out forgiveness. Maybe you have a person on your mind. Then I want you to say this prayer. We're going to say it out loud for those who want to right now. We're going to read it out loud and make this our prayer this morning, because God is inviting us to be invested, and he included us in the story. All right, so let's pray this together. God, you are a great forgiver that is good for me, because in the moment I am reminded of how I failed and dirtied myself through. It is for these things and more that you sent me a sign of my need for forgiveness and your need for justice. Jesus, you are the way that justice and forgiveness is satisfied. You didn't have to die for my forgiveness, but you did. I want to be more like you, so therefore I forgive those who have wronged me intentionally and unintentionally, just as you have. I forgive those who have stolen from me and hurt me, and I do this because I have you as an example. I release my bitterness and need to avenge. I leave everything in your hands, and even though it is hard for me, I ask that you would bless those who have hurt me, and that is exactly what I want to do right now.